Earth's barren rock. They had achieved so much, and not just on the planet. Oren and Burke, two of the huge city habitats, were visible in the clear topaz sky, orbiting 150,000 kilometers out, far above the two small moons they'd maneuvered into orbit to create some spectacular tides. And beyond that, Nigel smiled as his retinal filters activated. The surface of the blue-white star had three even brighter blemishes along the equator, like intense flowers of energy. The petals were vast streamers of plasma, pouring up into space at near-relativistic velocity, then twisting away into the J-nodes. Somewhere on the other side of the sun, the matter was streaming out of corresponding J-nodes, but changed, modified into the grid of their first Dyson shell, which would be more than 1.5 million kilometers across when it was finished in a couple of years. An awareness seeped into the lowest level of his consciousness, knowledge coming from central. There was a disturbance in hyperspace outside the star system, but approaching fast. The knowledge expanded up to full awareness, and he witnessed a line being drawn through the quantum fields that underpinned reality, driving straight for Zarea. Its signature was familiar enough, a Commonwealth Ultra Drive. But this was a small ship, nothing like the behemoths of the colony fleet that had brought the Sheldon dynasty to this place. Nigel sighed wryly as he drew up a list of who it might be carrying. It was a short list, just two names. The hyperdrive ship flashed through the star system and dropped out of hyperspace beside Oren. "You have a visit request," Central informed him. "So I sense," he replied dryly. "Well, it looks like my diary is clear for today. Let her in." His bionic field function detected the planetary T-sphere, engage and enact. Paula Mayo was teleported onto the ground, barely 4 meters away. Nigel almost laughed. It took just over 5 years for an ultra-drive ship to fly from the Commonwealth to Zarea. You had to really want to get here to attempt such a flight. And Paula had done it alone, in suspension. Yet here she stood wearing a grey business suit, her jet-black hair neatly styled. The amazing thing was, he knew that she'd consider this to be just another working day. "Paula!" He gave her a hug and a platonic kiss on the cheek. "Welcome to the Andromeda Galaxy. Stars are still stars, only the distance is greater." "Oh, very profound." He waited until she'd turned full circle to take in the vista. Then she tipped her head back and squinted at the dazzling sun. "Coronal matter transference. Now that is impressive," she admitted. "Why, thank you. You built yourself an Anna." "Central. It has the same technology base, yes. But we don't just download ourselves into it when we become jaded with life. The point of life is to avoid becoming jaded." "Profound," she shot back. Nigel chuckled. "It's good to see you. And you. This seems to be an interesting civilization you're building here. What would you call it?" "I don't know. High-end pastoral?" "Sylphon light, then?" "Ouch. Sorry." She glanced about the wide, empty landscape again. "Do you have homes? Those that want them have them. Do you want one, Nigel? Right now I'm happy just travelling around by myself. You realize no one has ever set foot on this ground before."
"I like that."
"Doesn't sound like you. You are always so busy."
"I help out with Central and our major projects. I don't have to be in the office. Not that we have any."
"And what about people? Do you need to be with them?"
"You traveled between galaxies to ask me that?"
"No. The void has gone."
"What?"
He'd thought he was of an age when nothing could surprise him, but that news was extraordinary.
"What do you mean, gone?"
"It transcended."
"How the fuck did that happen?"
Paula's lips twitched. "There was a small conflict."
"Oh, fa—"
He threw his hands up in dismay. "The living dream, morons. They finally went on their pilgrimage." "Yes. But they were being manipulated by the accelerators."
"Son of a bitch. Ilanthi. I knew the